Welcome to this podcast is making me thirsty, the number one destination for Seinfeld fans. This is our March Madness tournament bracket. The best character in Seinfeld that's not Jerry, George, Elaine, or Kramer. Me and Chris O'Hara are going to do, we're going to each give a vote as we go through this bracket. 64 characters have been picked out. There's probably some we're missing. Let us know in the comments who we're missing, all that jazz. But we covered as much as we could. And then if there's a tie, our producer, Chris, is going to be the tiebreaker. He's going to give his vote as well. So a lot to cover. Thanks for tuning in. Let us know all that jazz. Here we go. March Madness.
All right. Yeah. Welcome, everybody, to our March Madness brackets for best characters. And Tony, we're going to start off in the Larry David division. First up, we have number one seed Frank Costanza versus number 16 Joe Mayo. Who do you have?
Okay, 116. Not much to say here. We love Joe Mayo. We love Pat Finn, friend of the show, friend of Chris Farley. Some great stories there, but I don't think Frank's getting bounced yet. I'm going Frank Costanza advancing as a one seed.
Yeah, certainly no upset I see there. So, Chris, over to you. What do you have for this matchup?
Pat Finn, hell of a guy, but Frank moves on. Here we go.
All right, so next up is we got a number eight seed, the Soup Nazi, versus number nine, Jean-Paul. All right, so, Chris, who do you got in the matchup between the Soup Nazi, number eight seed, versus the number nine, Jean-Paul?
Really good matchup here. I believe they're both season seven. You know, Larry Thomas, obviously well-known, you Pink Hat fans out there, we know you love him. But it's Jean-Paul. I mean, AM, PM, separate knob. It's not an easy one. It's 8-9 is a good battle here, but I got to give the early, the slight push here to Jean-Paul to move on.
All right. And Tony, over to you. Who do you got in that 8-9 matchup?
Yeah, Pink Hats will be furious. Listen, O'Hara's right. It is a good 8-9 matchup. I think Soup Nazi had a chance against some people. I don't think he has a chance against Jean-Paul. I think the hot tub is one of the best episodes of season seven. I think it's because of Jean-Paul. Why separate knobs? I think why separate knobs is all you need. Soak it a year. You look at a little bastard. I mean, unbelievable character. Has to get my vote as well. Sorry, Soup Nazi, but no soup for you.
Yeah, if you've been a fan of this podcast, you kind of know that Jean-Paul would probably not be an upset here. But let's move on. Over to number five seed, Tim Whatley versus Larry from Monk's. So, Tony, who do you got in this one?
Yeah, another one that I really wish Larry was up against somebody else here. The seeding here, I think, hurts Larry. Another friend of the show. I thought he was a great interview, a great guy. I think Whatley just has too much behind him. He's got to make it out of the first round for me. Although, listen, if there's going to be a 12-5 upset, Larry would be kind of a pick for me, but I'm going to stick with Cranston and Whatley to advance the five seed.
All right, Chris, your thoughts on this matchup. What do you got?
Not so fast, Whatley. The core of this show was the familiarity, right? Monk's. I mean, Larry brought that. Of course, he's a friend of the show. I'm not even swayed by that. But from, you know, your own syrup to if you boys don't settle down. I mean, that's Seinfeld. Whatley, if he wasn't in an episode, I'd be fine with it. You take Larry out, I got a problem. Larry, 12 seed, moves on. Well, actually, sorry. We got a tiebreaker here, fellas.
Yeah, tiebreaker. Wow, I'm going to have to stick to my guns here with Tim Whatley. A lot of great scenes with him, so I'm not going to embellish too much on that. So I'm no upset here. Tim Whatley moves on. All right, so that means we're going to the next round, which is Hunky Tony, that's played by Dan Cortez, versus Mr. and Mrs. Ross. So Chris, who do you got here?
Yeah, the Rosses brought a lot in their many episodes, and I think that's what's interesting about some of these matchups. It's interesting, Hunky Tony is such a high seed for being just a one-time guest star of the show. We spoke to Dan Cortez. I mean, as memorable as it gets, Hunky Tony, Step Off, you know, a little Popcorn Babe, the whole thing, remarkable. Mr. and Mrs. Ross, yeah, The Cabin, Merlot, some really good stuff. You know, Tony's favorite episode, The Rye. You know, a lot going on with the Rosses. But when it's, you're thinking best character and really, you know, setting themselves apart, it's Dan Cortez and Hunky Tony. The four seed moves on for me.
All right. So that's a one vote for Tony. So over to the other Tony. Who do you got in this matchup?
Yeah, shame about Larry, you know, hindsight, but I think we went with Wally, and that's that he advances. For the 413, listen, he's a four seed for a reason. O'Hara just nailed every one there is to nail on this one. As memorable as it gets, if you ever talk about a Seinfeld character, who Hirschfeld hit it out of the park with this one. I mean, the long hair, the hat backwards, hey, don't the whole thing, you know, Step Off. Incredible guest star. The Rosses just don't have enough. I agree with O'Hara, though. They do have some strong showings. You know, they just staying and making it past the first round when they're up against a juggernaut like Cortez. So Tony advances.
Yeah, I agree there. No upset in this matchup. That's moving on now. Tony, we're going to start with you with a couple gals here. We got Susan, a number 6 seed, versus Toby, an 11 seed. Who do you got?
Oh, I thought full disclosure, I thought I took Toby out. Toby stays in as an 11 seed. Okay. Listen, this is not as easy as this is a tough one for me. You know, Susan gets a bad rap. Even the cast apparently didn't love her. Killed off. She's in a lot of episodes, and she does, you know. If she, to O'Hara's point with Whatley, that's going to be in my head now that O'Hara brought up the Whatley thing, because now I'm going to go back to that a little bit. If she wasn't there, what do we get, right? Could anybody play George's girlfriend? Could anybody play that part? Is she memorable enough? Is she giving us enough, you know, laughs in Elaine's face? I'm trying to think of what comes to mind. Now, then again, folks, we're doing this kind of on the fly. At least I am. I know O'Hara is too. We're pretty much live here, not doing a lot of research. Just with the gut, listen, My gut's telling me Toby from the scene she's in with the little toe and the laughing and the episode she's in and how much she brings to the table, you know, with Kramer there and everything else and Elaine, she has her interactions with Jerry. She's really with everyone. Susan's just there. She's kind of like wallpaper. She, you know, she bounces things off with George a little bit, but, you know, it's to O'Hara's point. Sometimes it's the characters that really are memorable enough. And you think, Toby's in everyone's head right now as we're talking about it, right? The laugh and everything else. So I'm going 11 seed upset here with Toby.
All right. So Chris, what are your thoughts on 6 versus 11, Susan versus Toby?
Yeah, shame on my partner. We're thinking about leaving her off. But Susan, you know, I think Tony's thinking later season Susan. We're forgetting NBC Susan, right? Getting the dry cleaning, getting vomited on. The Cheever letters, the whole thing, the lesbian sighting.
Bubble,
you know,
Boy, she's good too.
Bubble Boy, when you take your top off. I mean, she didn't say that, but, you know, we don't love Susan, but don't sleep on Susan as an integral part, foundation of the show. I mean, George got engaged to her, for crying out loud, okay? Wally's just a dentist. So let's not put those two together, okay? Susan moves on.
All right, so we got one for Susan, one for Toby. That means I'm a tiebreaker here. All right, so again, going with my gut here, and I'm calling the upset. I got Toby over Susan. I think her performance was strong enough to have her advance. So kudos for Vian Cox, friend of the show, for moving on to the next round. So that means... Chris, you're going to start us off on the next matchup, which is number 3 seed Morty Seinfeld versus Rebecca De Mornay. So who do you have here?
Yeah, for the record, producer Chris has chosen Tony's side twice here, but who's keeping count? All right, 314. Those are always fun ones in the NCAA tournament, and another fun one here. Pretty easy decision here. You know we're loyal to the parents. Morty's Morty. You know, he wasn't the original Morty, but he became Morty. Rebecca De Mornay, may she rest in peace. Wonderful actress. Laugh my ass off every time. But Morty is a staple. We don't remove staples. Morty moves on.
Yeah, it's a shame that Sonia Eddie left us too soon. And unfortunately, she's going up against a giant here in Morty. So, Tony, what do you have for this matchup?
Yeah, you both pretty much summed it up. I mean, we love Sonia Eddie, one of the funnest people we talked with. So great to you know, just to delight. But listen, Morty's Morty. There's no way around it. We'll get there as we go through the bracket. But stay on Biscayne. From then on, he had me. Morty advances.
All right, that brings us to our next matchup, which is a 7 seed, Mike Moffitt, versus Tony the Mechanic, who's a 10 seed. So, Tony, what do you got in this matchup?
Oh, I'm first, huh? This is a tough one. This is a really, really tough 7-10 matchup. I always think 7-10 matches are tough in the NCAA bracket. Oh, man, I was hoping a higher win first. Listen, here's the thing, man. Moffitt gets ruined in the Susie, but I don't know if it's enough to ruin him completely to lose out here. Washer fluid's not fine is an all-time line. Does an all-time line, is it enough here? I mean, I gave it enough with Toby, but I think Toby had more to her than just one line. I feel like Toby was, it was more of the episode and her being in the episode and revolving around it, which, you know, you can make the argument that's what Tony the Mechanic is here too. You know, he takes the car off and that's where the whole thing starts, right? But listen, man, that Michael Jordan sure is phony. From the first time I heard it live back then till now, that's Moffitt. I'm going to keep the 7 seed here and I'm going to advance Moffitt on that alone. I'm going to look past the Susie. I'm going to say he delivered enough and I'm not going to let it sour me. And I don't think Tony Mechanic brought enough other than the washer fluid. So I'm gonna give my pick to Moffitt on this one.
All right, thanks, Tony. Chris, over to you. Mike Moffitt versus Tony the Mechanic. Who do you got?
Yeah, well said. Listen, when Tony the Mechanic, when you're more well known for Everyone Loves Raymond, you're not making it past around here. Okay, the washer fluid looks fine is a great line. This is Mike Moffitt. I don't even know what episode that was. I know Mike Moffitt's in the parking space, period. All right? That holds a lot of weight. What a line. Why'd you tell him? Just what an introduction to a character and how he played off everyone, especially Jerry Kramer and George, in the parking space, which is absolutely wonderful. This is an easy move on, Mike Moffitt.
Yeah, I agree. Lee Ehrenberg, who played Mike Moffitt, he was a great guest as well. Certainly deserves to move on, and so no upset there. Chris, we're going to stay with you. We got a number 2 seed, Bookman, versus number 15, Joe, from the Stranded episode. Who do you got in this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see Bookman not being a 1 seed, okay, if you know where I'm going here. So Joe from Stranded, I'm assuming that Michael Chiklis, yeah, this is a no-brainer. Bookman is an all-timer. I mean, you know, Joy Boy, the instant coffee, you know, we spoke with Marion from the show, The Librarian. Just what a presence on a set. I mean, I think that's a great description of him, a presence. Like, you don't, you know, we're going to go through this bracket. There's not many people with that type of, you know, aura, if you will. And again, he's only in a few scenes, so. Think about that. But yeah, for me, Bookman's got to move on.
All right. Tony, upset?
Yeah, not going to happen. But listen, all those folks watching this who are probably already starting to look at our bracket saying, where's this person? Where's that person? Where's this person? Where's it? Don't matter who's here, folks. This 15 seed, you can replace them with anyone you're thinking about, and they're not going to make it past the first round. So let's not get carried away about who's not in the bracket. We're going to start getting into some things as we go through this, but come on. It don't matter who the 15 seed here is. Bookman's advancing. So let's just move on.
Now we're going to what we'll consider the Southeast bracket, the Larry Charles bracket. And Tony, start us off with number 1 seed, Estelle Costanza versus Dwayne, who was the played by Tim Stack.
Yeah, friend of the show and a hell of a guy. One of the best interviews we had. By the way, maybe Sharona should be the Southeast because of his Alabama connection. But anyway, Larry Charles Brackett. Yeah, listen, again, this is another one where it's not going to matter who's going against Estelle Costanza. We love Tim Stack. We love Dwayne. You know, Jane Diapicola, you were sucking down, you know, the whole thing. But Estelle Costanza, what else can you say but her introduction as a character, you know, the whole thing in the contest. This is a no-brainer. So Estelle moves on as the one seed.
Yeah, definitely seeing her moving on. Chris, any issues here? Does Dwayne have enough to take over Estelle?
Dwayne's one of those guys. Tim Stack's one of the guys you want to move on. You fight for him. You pull for him. He just salt of the earth. Billy Martin's story. Watch the podcast. What a guy. Son of the beach. Fun guy. But this is Estelle. Tony Trey. Iconic. I, you know, we all remember the contest, the introduction to her. Yeah, Estelle's a clean sweep here.
Yeah, no, I have to agree there. So our next matchup is an 8-9, and it's Joe from Joe's Fruit Stand versus Sid, the guy that parks the cars in the great episode where our namesake for the podcast come from. Chris, start us off. What do you have in this matchup?
Woo! This is this is one of those really tough ones. I keep looking at it, and I don't know who to choose because they're both. Obviously, Sid was in two episodes. You know, I'm not swaying too much. Obviously, he was anchored in the alternate side. Who's putting your pants on? You know, so I meant this Wednesday. I'd say this Wednesday. And then Joe, obviously, you know, banning Kramer. And then obviously Jerry comes in. That's for Kramer, you know. So, man, this could be the best matchup. Again, I love the whole bracket here. But you got to make a choice here. I'm going to go with my gut on this one. It may be just because I'm seeing his name first, but I'm going to go Joe. Restitution, bring up with God, you know, just he's so passionate and he packed such a punch in the mango. I think that elevates him just a little bit. And plus, he owns his own store, Joe's Fruit. Not bad.
All right, Tony, over to you. Who do you have here?
Yeah, I mean, Sid has his own business. Listen, I agree wholeheartedly with O'Hara. I can't believe I made this matchup as I'm thinking about this. What was I thinking? These two against each other? This is insane. This is a very hard decision. O'Hara made some great points. Both of these characters, I don't know how I even touched on this a little bit. They're both the fabric of the neighborhood too, if you think about it, right? New York City, the neighborhood, you know, where they live, the Upper West Side. It's all these other little characters. Joe's Fruit Stand, did the car parking guy. He's out there in front of, you know, in the Moffitt argument too. He's out there making, you know, who are you? Don't worry who I am. Don't worry about who you are. The whole thing. I know who I am. You know who you are. You know, who put your pants on? If I said this Wednesday, I would have said this. I mean, I'm giving a nod to Sid because of his second episode. I think he kind of pushes it a little bit over the top for me. You know, bringing him back, it shows that he's in the neighborhood. He's a fabric of the neighborhood. He's there for, you know, he's buddies with Kramer. He always loved when he makes fun of George, the whole thing. I'm going to go Sid. I'm going to go 9 seed Sid.
All right. Well, you guys are very passionate about your picks, and this is March Madness. Now I got to do the tiebreaker here, and I'm going with Chris on this one. I'm going with Joe's Fruit Stand. That's Kramer. I love that one. So Joe moves on.
Very solid pick there, but again, I could have went either way. Tough to argue that one. Tough one.
Right. Stand. This was, like you said, one of the toughest matchups we see on the board here. So moving on to the next round, Tony, we got Sid Farkas, a number 5 seed versus number 12, Mrs. Sokol.
Oh, man. I mean, it's not as easy as you think, folks. I mean, I hear everyone yelling right now. Of course, it's Farkas. Of course, it's Farkas, a 5-12. But listen, 12 seeds get upsets all the time. And the boyfriend's an all-timer. Mrs. Sokol's an all-timer. You know, George behind a desk, you know, say what you want in front of the desk. I call it George behind the desk. It's him and Sokol back and forth, hour-long episode, put him on the map, changed the game for us. All that said, though, I mean, you're bringing Farkas around twice. Both scenes are dominant. Ad-lib summer nights. Check it out. We talked to him about it. You know, puts the moves on Estelle right in front of Frank. Tells him what's up with that. I mean, just so much going on here. Barring any unforeseen circumstances, you know, what do you see in the back? I don't know. I'm picturing them both in my mind. They're both really bringing it. They're both making me laugh. But, you know, Mrs. Sokol, when George starts talking about the daughter, she does a little hair thing. Gets all flush. A tough 12-5. This is a tough 12-5 matchup, but I'm going to give it a Farkas. Sid Farkas gets my nod by a hair.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Chris, what are your thoughts on this matchup?
She doesn't even have a boyfriend, right? I mean, you know, the 86 Mets, Sokol's wonderful. If she's in any other matchup, you know, she's going to beat the Mornay. She's going to beat Tony the Mechanic. She could potentially beat Dwayne, but the Tonys, but she's not beating Sid Farkas. We spoke to the man. I mean, the bra salesman. I mean, what can you say? Sid's an all-timer. Could probably be better than a 5 seed, maybe. Who knows? Well, we'll see. We'll see where we go here. But Sokol, love her. I mean, love her to death. Obviously, Tony mentioned that episode was the one, I think. So, but Farkas moves on for sure.
Yeah, Farkas, played by our friend Patrick Cronin. So good to see that he moves on. No upset here. Chris, we're going to stick with you because this next one, we are going with a number 4 seed, Lippman versus the Mandelbaums. So who do you have here?
I think we all know where I'm going here. Pendant Publishing is a foundation. Lippman is just one of the best bosses the show's ever had. His dynamic with Elaine was legendary. Julia Louis-Dreyfus speaks about that as she worked with Lippman in the past, and he was just such a comfort to have with her. When do you put on that Orioles hat Fire and George? I mean, just he was part of so many big moments. I know Pink Hats love the Mandelbaums. Number one, do you think you're better than me? You know, okay. Then I can't pass Lippman. So Lippman moves on.
Yeah, definitely. I see Lippman moving on here. So Tony, who do you got?
Yeah, I'm noticing a trend with my partner so far early on in this bracket. He, as someone who can't stand later season episodes, he doesn't like to think about his favorite characters in those later seasons. Doesn't let it sour him. Sticks to early Lippman. Lippman was in 10 episodes, man, and they weren't all great. The Muffin Top, one of your least favorite episodes of all time, is Lippman. I mean, they're not all Red Dot and the letter, right? He's in the Muffin Tops, then the whole Serenity Now, then the whole thing with his son and the bar mitzvah. These are episodes you poo-poo for a long time. But listen, be that as it may, he's not upset. In the Mandelbaums don't have a sniff at all in this one. I mean, it's not even close. But I'm just throwing it out there. Lippman wasn't all roses the whole way through. So, but what he was there, right? The Red Dot's an all-timer. From the Red Dot on, he could have been retired after that, and I would have been fine. But yeah, Mandelbaums, sorry, Pink Hats. They don't have enough at all to match up against Lippman. So he does move on as a 4 seed.
Yeah, certainly no upset here. So I agree. Moving on, Tony, sticking with you, because our next seed is a number 6, Uncle Leo. Versus number 11, Tina, Elaine's roommate. So who do you got?
Here's another one, folks. This is another one. It's not. This is a 6-11, but I am not. I'm not going to take this one lightly. I think Tina, you know, her and Kramer, you know, her and Elaine. That's what the buzzer's for. The whole thing with the water bottle. We had a great conversation with her. You know, Leo's another one where you know, people think, oh, it's Leo, you know, one of the best. He's in a lot of stuff where he's not. I mean, the package is just one of the worst episodes of all time. And he's kind of the brunt of it. You know, I love season 4 Leo. even the pledge drive, he's great in it. You know, Doodle's pretty good. Bookstore is a later season episode. It is still a good, it's a good Leo. I don't know. This is a tough one for me. I really like Tina. I like what she brings. But I'm going to give Leo my vote here. He's a six seed. He just nudges out Tina, although I don't think it's, I think it's real close, but I think he has enough behind him that, you know, she doesn't, but she really nails the character. Her and Kramer's great. Her and Elaine's great. But I'm going to give Leo the nod in the first round.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Tony. So Chris, your thoughts on this matchup, who do you got?
I mean, Tony just said I did this. Now he's doing the same thing. Well, here's the deal. You know, when you think of Don Mattingly, are you going to talk 1985 Don Mattingly? Are you going to talk about when he had the bad back in 93? You're going to talk about the good moments, of course. So that's what we're doing here. That's what I'm doing here. That's where it comes to the show. And for that, Tony made a lot of good points here. You know, Uncle Leo, the Brentanos, couldn't stand it. I thought that was so stupid. I know Tony hates the stop the show. She's on a fixed budget. Finding the watch. Hello. Enough with hello. Okay. I think he got watered down a little bit throughout the years. And he was never, I don't know, there was never a Lippman moment like I just talked about. Okay. With Lee, he's kind of there and out with the parents and, you know. What was it when he got the massage? I thought I ordered an Asian one. So good stuff. But Tina, Siobhan Fallon, just her delivery and just pure punching it. And then, you know, the whole the boozer, you know, hello, Jerry. Like just Tina, I give the upset here to Tina. It's rare, but I think she packed enough. And again, season two, season three, obviously season five back with the opposite. Hard to beat Tina.
Wow, so that means I'm a tiebreaker here. So Leo versus Tina. And Chris, I think I'm going to give the edge to you again this one. We're going with Tina just because, like you said, throughout all the seasons, you know, Leo, it's kind of just even keel level, but when Tina's on the screen, she delivers. So in overtime, Tina wins this one. So let's move on to our next bracket, which is the number three seed, Jimmy versus Rupel Dalrymple, a 14 seed. So Chris, who do you have in that one?
This is another tough one. I'm almost not even looking at the seeds anymore. I'm looking at the matchup, and you know, Jimmy's Jimmy, you know. Friend of the show, of course, our first guest star ever. I mean, hell of a guy. A guy you want to get a beer with. And Jimmy was, what, season six? Okay. Rupel Dalrymple, in a number of episodes, obviously, in an iconic season four, the president of NBC, just his introduction, George trying to spell his name. You know, why am I watching it? Because it's on TV, not yet. Boom, fast forward to the Denise Richards scene. You know, then boom, back in the apartment with George. So many great scenes. All right, 8,000 it is. Okay. To, you know, joining Greenpeace to go after Elaine. Rupel was special here. All right. Now, Jimmy's Jimmy. You know, the whole episode was named Jimmy, for crying out loud. We talk about that a lot. But I don't know. My gut's telling me Rupel. I know it's an upset here. But those opening scenes, his banter with Jerry and George in season four, the foundation of this whole show, I'm giving Rupel the nod here.
Oh, wow. All right. Halfway to an upset over here that maybe he's up at halftime, Rupel Dalrymple. Tony, does he have a comeback here for Jimmy?
Yeah, I know my partner too well. I knew he was going Dalrymple this whole time. He's talking it up as if it was a tough decision. He loves Dalrymple, this guy. He loves it. Good look, Costanza. I mean, I don't know, man. It was, I'm going to, we have to judge this as we're analysts, right? Not so much the fact that we talked to Anthony Stark and he was our first guest and he was amazing. I'm going to put that aside. I'm going to look at the facts here. I think I kind of thought the Dalrymple Lane stuff got a little bit weird towards the end there when he left, and then the whole, you know, Greenpeace. I think they overplayed their, I think he might have overstayed his welcome a tad there in that respect. I do love the pitch as an all-timer, obviously. You know, why is it on TV, as O'Hara mentioned? Getting a look at Stanza's going to be up there for all time's sake. But listen, Jimmy is one of those characters that, as O'Hara mentioned, the show is named after him. He, the whole thing, I mean, it's being repeated from this day forward. No one's doing Dalrymple, right? Everyone does Jimmy. Anytime someone talks in the third person, they're doing Jimmy. They're talking about Jimmy. You know, Jimmy gets upset. The whole thing. I think there's so much weight that comes with that where you can't ignore it. I'm going Jimmy, the three seed. As much as I love Dalrymple, I got to take Jimmy in this one. It's going to be on you again here, Schmid.
All right. Well, yeah, there we go. Tiebreaker to me. So, you know, Jimmy can dunk. And he's dunking on Dalrymple. So he's moving on to the next round. No upset here, folks. So that means we're moving on to the next seeded bracket, which is number 7, Milos versus the Cantwell versus Cantwell and Fields, the old men from the old man episode. Tony, who do you got here?
Yeah, you might call it a bit of a cheat here, folks. We kind of combine them. The same thing we did with the Rosses. They go hand in hand. It's impossible to take one out. You have to have them both there as a team, as the old men. You know, George with his guy, you know, eating the soup and everything else. At your age, you don't think about it, the whole thing. I love the old man episode. It's one of my favorite episodes of all time. I love that dynamic. I love the whole, like, George and Jerry, like, what are they, you know, talking to the older guys. Everyone loves Milos. Everyone loves another game of Milos. The whole thing. We talked to Mark Harlick, a great guy. But it's one of these things where the old men, it's the episode, it's the guys, it's they are the episode, right? I mean, you can make the case Milos is the episode too, I suppose, but there's so much baggage that comes with that on that episode that it's hard to look past some of these things for me. I'm going to give the nod to the 10 seed here on an upset to see if it sticks. But I'm going to give Cantwell and Fields just they're back and forth with Jerry. You know, the guy just talks to Jerry in the apartment, the whole thing. She steals from me, the whole thing. Great, great two old timers. They're going to get my vote on this one.
All right. Thanks, Tony. So, yeah, no, good matchup here, Milos and the old men. So, Chris, what do you got here? Who's your pick?
Yeah, you know, listen, Sid Field's incredible, right? Who do you work for, the CIA? But here's the thing. Cantwell, I think he brought the dial a little bit. That package, it's a Sid package. So Cantwell didn't do much for me, to be honest, right? And Tony just doing Milos, I laughed out loud. And listen, this is a best characters bracket, not best episode bracket. If we're talking best episode, yeah, I'm going to go the old man. But I don't want the best character. It's Milos, baby. I mean, from the racket to the Milos to the I'll give you free year to say what you will, the accent, everything. Memorable, terrible episode. Don't get me wrong. But great character. You know, and Cantwell and Fields, yes, great episode. But even their last scene, I know we talked about it when we did a two-up. Something was missing. It was just a little off. They were trying to make it too much like Jerry and George. So for me, it's Milos. So, Schmidt, can you break the tie here?
Yes, I can. And it's another game for Milos. She's moving on. All right, so that brings us to our last matchup. And Chris, we're staying with you because this time we got Alton Bennis, the number 2 seed, versus 15, Bruce from the Chinese restaurant. He's the maitre d'. Who do you got?
Yeah, Bruce, for those of you who don't know, Seinfeld, Foy, Cotwright, James Hong. I mean, incredible. Actually, you know what? And again, I'm not looking at seeds again because if I did, you know, you just take the two seed here because Alton Bennis, you know, I talked about Bookman in presence. Boy, did Alton Bennis have a presence too. And there's kind of, I guess, a common theme with both. They're both kind of intimidating figures, authoritative. And he kind of, those guys put Jerry and George in their place like the children they are. And I think having those guys elevate shows, right? A-plus shows, quite frankly. So, or AAA-plus shows. But listen, Cotright, say what you, it's a moment. He was a great character. I'm just, it's tough. Going against Elaine's dad here, it's just, it might be too big of a hill to climb for James Hong and Cotright here. Any other, you know, if he's in any other seat, he probably moves on. But he's you know, I'm going to the bathroom. We're not beating him, so Bennis moves on.
Yeah, great analysis there, Chris. Tony, over to you. What do you got for your matchup here? Who's advancing in your mind?
Mr. Cohen, he always here. What does it mean he's always here? Great line. I say Cotright, you say Cursor. Listen, as much as O'Hara just talked it out, I just got to ditto it. You love the Chinese restaurant, although I didn't give it that high of a grade now that I'm thinking about it, but you do. It's an all-timer as far as that goes, and he's a great character. Cotright lives on, but Alton Bennis, he's a juggernaut. He does 2-seed. This is a blowout. He stuck with him, but Alton Bennis covered the spread easy in this one for me.
Yeah, I agree there. So, all right. So that wraps up the Larry Charles bracket. So moving on, our next bracket is the Melman bracket. And our number one seed is Newman. And he starts off with 16 seed Poppy. So we're going to start off with Tony again. Tony, what do you got with your matchup between Newman and Poppy?
Yeah, this is kind of a no-brainer for me. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Poppy to begin with. So he drew a tough card here. You know, the selection committee wasn't too kind to him putting up against Newman. I mean, Newman's a one seed for a reason. He's basically a fifth character, if you will. But hey, listen, that doesn't mean anything. This is just the first round. I'm just saying. I don't think Poppy has a chance in hell in this one, unfortunately. I know my co-host loves Poppy, but I'd love to hear him, give his try and sway Schmidt on a tiebreaker here. But I'm easily going Newman on this one. I don't want to waste anyone's more time.
Yeah, Chris, so we're just going to go right to you. One seed versus 16 seed. Who do you got here?
Well, I don't think it's a fair 16 seed. I asked to have Poppy in the bracket, and you know who put this together, because he put him as a 16, which in my mind is not fair to Poppy, okay? Not fair. And he talks about Newman as the fifth wheel, the fifth whatever. Newman's only in 25% of the episode, so let's not go crazy on Newman here, okay? And again, a lot of why, and a lot of you pink hats out there, love Newman. For his later episodes, there's whispering to Kramer, and, you know, running around, doing his thing, and the rickshaw, and the majority of that is, you know, is Newman in the later years. But I'm an analyst, and I don't forget the early years either, right? I loathe you, the whole thing, the JFK stuff, Keith Hernandez, you know, what do you do, Newman? I work for the United States. I'm a United States postal worker. There's good foundation there. And that outweighs a lot of the bad. Still love Poppy, but we'll move Newman on.
Yeah, I agree there. So Newman moving on, first round against Poppy. And that means we're going to our 8-9 matchup, which is another great matchup here. Shame to see one of these guys lose. Number 8, Mr. Pitt versus number 9, Wilhelm. Chris, who do you got in this one?
Yeah, two white-haired bosses here. Obviously, one for Elaine, one for Georgie. you know, Wilhelm, the Yankees, you know, I felt like he was kind of always around. You kind of feel like Mr. Pitt was always around too. You know, I think, and again, you guys double check me here, but I think he's only there one season. But obviously, you know, the whole thing with Woody the Woodpecker, the Sox, you know, Mr. Pitt had his moments. And Wilhelm certainly has moments too. But is there a, I guess my question, is there a foundational Wilhelm moment? You're going to tell me it's the cleaning crew, the cult? I mean, that's just coming top of mind to me. Or, you know, downtown. For me, Pitt had a lot more big moments. I know my partners love Pitt, but for the core of the show and what he represented, I thought he was a solid transition as Elaine left Pendant, which, you know, broke our heart. But it's a slight nod, but a little buzzer beater here, Mr. Pitt beating Mr. Wilhelm.
All right. Thank you, Chris. So, Tony, who do you got in this matchup?
Yeah, well said. Great points. And listen, I may be surprising some people here, but I agree with my partner. I think if we're talking about characters in this particular matchup, I think Pitt has to take this one. To O'Hara's point, Wilhelm's not really a character. He's there. I mean, Morgan's almost more of a character than Wilhelm. To O'Hara's point, you can't think of Wilhelm moments, you know, in the bathroom with George, maybe, but really not a lot there. He's really just there as a George, you know, a bouncer offer, if you will, right? Whereas Pitt is delivering. As much as I don't like the guy, sometimes I give him some bad knocks here and there. He's delivered in episodes, right? The Woody Woodpecker that I mentioned, the whole thing with the Sox, great scene. Yeah, listen, it's an 8-9 matchup. It's a tight matchup, but I think in this case, you know, Pitt was lucky with the selection committee. We'll leave it that way. I don't know. Somehow he's going to eat this one through here. I'm going to have the eight move on, Mr. Pitt.
No, I agree with both of you that Mr. Pitt moves on. You know, maybe a bit of a squeaker, but yes, he moves on. So that brings us to our next matchup, which is number 5, Babu versus number 12, Sidra. And Tony, what do you got in this matchup?
All right. So again, Sidra, there aren't a lot of girlfriends in this bracket so far as you're looking at this. I think this might be the first Jerry girlfriend that we're talking about. There's just so many of them. I mean, that could be a whole separate bracket unto its own. I think a lot of times the girlfriends, you know, they're memorable and we love talking to them. We've had a bunch on our show, but they're not so much characters. But Sidra is, right? You know, an all-time closing line. They're real and they're fantastic. Spectacular. Screwed up the line, of course. But yeah, listen, it's tough to get by Babu. I mean, we love 12-5 upsets. But I don't think, I mean, the cafe alone, Babu's another one that they kind of, you know, they may have overplayed their hand with a little bit and the whole thing at the finale, but it's not enough to knock them on this one. And if you want to talk about characters, Babu's a character and a half, right? The whole thing. Yeah, I'll see you in the building. Love that line. The whole wheel's in motion. There's enough here to just give Babu the nod over Terry Hatcher. So that's my pick.
All right, yeah, good stuff there, Tony. Chris, your thoughts on this matchup? Who do you got moving on?
Great callback. I forgot about the Visa. You know, he comes back and delivers. You know, and obviously Babu's brother, you know, Tu Frutti. Babu moves on. I'm not even going to discuss this one.
Next. Yeah, very well. Yeah, definitely no upset here. So that brings us to our next matchup. All right, we got Banya, number 4 seed. And he's going against one of our favorites, Ray Thomas, who was a guest of the show. That was Michael Conway. Who do you got, Chris, in this matchup?
Listen, Conway, hell of a guy, hell of a human, statue. What can you say? Foundational, as I always like to bring up here. And really, you know, he stole the show in that early season there. And then we talked about Banya. Well, what can we say? I mean, memorable. Banya's one of those, he never lets you down, you know? whether it's, you know, just talking about the suit or the soup, or just always bumping into him, you know, bringing up Mendy's or who's the I'm trying to fucking blank here, the Uma. So like every episode he's in, he doesn't let you down. You know, he doesn't push it. He's solid, funny, Ovaltine, right? He's the perfect kind of character just to needle a Jerry just enough. And he needs that. Jerry needs that. Little villains. But this is like a soft villain, if you will, Banya. But for me, he was great in those later years. I think they needed a Banya. And they didn't overdo with him. He wasn't in 20 episodes. I think he might have been, you know, 4 to 5. And I think that was a perfect number for him. So for me, Banya moves on.
All right, Tony, your thoughts on this matchup, Banya versus Ray Thomas.
Yeah, listen, I agree with all those points. I really, you know, I loved Ray Thomas in the episode, regardless that we talked to the guy. I thought he was fantastic. I loved his whole, the way he talked and everything, the manner and the whole thing. And how I mentioned, it's foundational. The statue is one of the best of all time. His scene with Kramer when, you know, goes in, they'll make it up to the wall, you pervert. I love the guy, and he just threw a tough card here. I feel like I would have advanced him against a lot of other people, but he ain't getting past Banya. And Banya was in 6 episodes. To Harris' point, not overdone, not one of the people they just shoved into an episode for no reason. He always served a purpose. He always delivered. Banya moves on.
Yeah, no issues there with that seeding. So yeah, that brings us over to the Moyle, which is a 6th seed. Versus one of my personal favorites, Bob Cobb, the maestro at number 11. Tony, who do you got in this matchup?
Yeah, the Moyle, this is the thing about the Moyle is I feel like everyone thinks about the Moyle and says they love the Moyle, but rewatch the episode with the Moyle, which we did recently because we spoke to John a blank, but we just spoke to the dad in that episode, and you know, the Moyle wasn't the original Moyle. Yes, he comes in with an abandonment. Great first scene. The whole, you know, the whole spiel, running, going crazy, the whole thing. Fights with Jerry with the finger prick. Great character. Not denying it. You know, he's a 6th seed for a reason. I think that's where he belongs. I like Bob Cobb, man. I really do. The maestro. I think, if you want to talk about characters, these are two great characters. I mean, the whole, I want to be called the maestro. He's the maestro of the policeman, Bolivian, you know, the PBA of Queens, the orchestra, for crying out loud, you know, but he takes it so seriously, you know. He has the house in Tuscany no one else can have, you know, plays pool with Frank and Kramer, you know, puts the moves on Elaine with the convertible. I'm going to 11-6 upset on this one. I'm going to go Bob Cobb, the maestro, over the Moyle, the fan favorite.
All right. So, Chris, over to you. What's your pick here?
The way he was talking, he should have seeded it the flip side there. But so it's not really an upset. But listen, the Moyle's an all-timer. I mean,
selection committee seeded it. I had to look at that outside my own head on that. Okay.
The Moyle absolutely stole the show. When you think about the Briss, I know the maestro's called the maestro, but like, all right, he's dating Elaine. So, enough. It got dragged out a little bit. For me, it's the Moyle. I mean, you know, oh, he's my cod. You know, he's just, every scene he was in, he elevated it. And he just, I hate to say he stole the show. He did steal the show, you know? Kramer running around with the baby. I mean, that scene alone, that's an all-time scene. Larry Charles, you know? And you said he replaced the original Moyle. Yeah, I'm glad he did. And guess what? Frank Costanza replaced the original Frank. Morty, you know, go on and on. They got it right. And for me, this isn't easy. The 6-seed moves on here. Schmidt, break the tie for us.
Yeah. I love both these characters. I love both these characters. So, and Mark Metcalf as the maestro, he was a phenomenal guest too. But I'll... You know, when I looked at this earlier, I hated this matchup because, but I'm going to go with my gut, the Moyle. I'm going with you, Chris.
How?
Like you said, he's
a 6-seed for a reason. I mean,
well, I put his Schmidt introduced it as, my personal favorite, Bob Cobb, as the introduction. I thought he was going Cobb the whole way, but good to hear.
I knew he had a soft spot for the Moyle, too.
Yes. I mean, listen, what can I say? You know, I always loved the Moyle. I always loved the scenes with Bob Cobb, but I think the Moyle, you know, he, you know, again, a buzzer beater in my book. He wins on this one. So let's move on. We got our next matchup, which is number 3 seed, Jackie Childs. And he's going against Jake Jarmel, 14th seed. So, Chris, take us through this one. Who do you got?
Childs, Jake Jarmel, two friends of the show, two great guys. What can you say? They're both in a ton of episodes. But I think this is a pretty clear-cut, clean one here. We love Jarmel. And before he was even Jarmel, was the cop. When you listen to that podcast, he said that was actually his favorite character to play. And then he did a wonderful job, obviously, as Elaine's girlfriend, exclamation point, you name it. But it's Jackie Childs. I mean, from his introduction as, you know, as Johnny Cochran, if you will, to being the kind of anchor of the finale. Pretty easy one here. Childs moves on.
All right. Thanks, Chris. And Tony, what's your pick here?
Yeah, I do love Jake Jarmel, the whole when he got out of here thing and the whole, you know, great, great guy. Childs might be a 3 seed, probably a crime for most people. It's probably saying what's doing at the 3 seed, but there's a lot of big guest stars here, folks. So he'll get his due. Childs moves on. I agree with O'Hara. It's kind of a no-brainer, but we have to make the list, right?
Right. Two great guys, but one character that's better than the other. And yeah, Jackie Childs moves on. So now that brings us to, oh, wow, this is an interesting seating. We got Tor Ekman, number 7, versus Ping, number 10. And Tony, who do you got here?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I mean, this is one of the ones, too, where we might be arguing seeds. This is not an easy one. The 10-7 matchup. You know, Payne coming in with the shark, talking Chinese in the you know, the true story about the bomb, the bald cure. That was a true story. A real Chinese delivery guy did that. Great story. Pink's one of those other ones, fabric of the neighborhood, right? Who's the Chinese delivery guy? Who's the guy that sells the fruit? Who's the car parking guy? These are all the Upper West Side neighborhood. They're all characters. But listen, Tor Ekman, an all-timer. You know, I thought he was doing time. He got out. The way he ad-libs his hand motions with George, you know, the whole thing. I'm a healer. Very tough matchup. You know, it's one of those things where, what are we going with here? You know, is it the character? Is it the, you know, how much they bring, how many episodes they're in, what they're doing in each one? A lot to kind of go back and forth on this one. You know, but I keep landing on Tor Ekman every time I look at this, as much as I love Ping. Only it's just one of those characters that just, you know, the outfit. I love Kramer's friends. One of those friends we actually get to meet and see what, you know, what it's all about, the alternativeness that Kramer lives in, you know, gets his news off, you know, C-SPAN and the Canadian Parliament and everything else, the World Trade Center guy, the neck thing. Just so much going on with Kramer. I love getting an insight into it. Early episode 2 probably has some sway, although Ping was early on as well. I'm going to go Ekman. I'm going to go front of the show. Not that it matters, but I'm going Ekman.
All right, very good. Chris, your thoughts. Who do you got?
Yeah, Ekman is certainly the more memorable character. But to my partner's point here, foundational fabric, right? To build a suit, you need fabric, okay? And that's what Ping is. He's such a part of it. I love his jacket. He makes himself at home in Jerry's apartment. I think it's like a varsity jacket. And then he comes back in the Knicks jacket, which I love.
Yeah, the Knicks jacket.
Starter Knicks jacket. You know, not that I'm giving the nod here based on clothes alone, but she's a shock. You know, the pea pods, they got saved when Elaine hit him, right? I mean, Ping. His name's Ping, too, and that's his real name in real life. Ping Wu. Hell of a guy. Hope to have him on the show someday. You know, obviously with the shock, the whole thing, suing them. in New York, Chinese delivery, that's New York. I mean, every point Tony made, I'm elevating, because it centers around that building. Like, that building with Kramer and Jerry, that's where the magic happened, and Ping helped elevate it. The guy's an all-timer. You say Ping, you know who you're talking about, all right? It's that simple. What other Chinese delivery guy is this well-known? Ping's got to move on.
All right, that means I'm a tiebreaker here, and I hate being the tiebreaker, because this is a difficult one for me. You know, Stephen Tobolowsky, who played Tor Ekman, great guest, a lot of good insights into the show that we discussed with him. But you know what? I enjoyed the Ping scenes a lot more, so I'm going with Chris on this one, with Ping.
Yes!
Now whose side is this guy taking on everyone? O'Hara swayed you big time. That's all right. We all love Ping, the jacket. Head hurt. Head really hurt.
So, yeah, that's I'm going with Ping there. So, Chris, it brings us to our next and final round of rankings here for this bracket, the Melvin bracket. Number two, Putty versus the lineswoman, played by Marlene Matlin. Who do you got in this matchup?
Interesting 15-2 here. Marlene Matlin, obviously lover, Oscar winner, the whole thing. What an episode. Carol Leifer written episode. And Putty, listen, we know all you guys out there love Putty. I love Putty too. Excellent in the face painter. And then he came back for multiple episodes later, and obviously the whole breakup nonsense with Elaine. But, you know, he was in, what, 10-plus episodes? He's kind of like Eddie Murray. He's a compiler. But compilers make the Hall of Fame, whether we like it or not. So I'll move Putty on against Marley here.
All right. Tony, over to you. Who do you got?
Yeah, well said. I mean, that's the kind of the thing with Putty. I mean, he's a two seed for a reason. I had to kind of hold my nose when I put him as a two seed, or I should say the selection committee, only because, you know, he's a fabric of the show later years, but he's still a fabric of the show. He's got to get, you know, his due there. I think the lineswoman, you know, Marlene Matlin up against anyone else may have had a shot. I was just going to try and confirm how many episodes Putty was in, but I think to your point, he was in a good amount. You know, he was in 10 episodes. So it's one of those things where the longevity, to O'Hara's point, it could hurt him and it could help him. It hurt, you know, it helps the compilers to get in, but to O'Hara's point, you know, a Mattingly 85 season is going to win out over anything else in my book, usually. Not in this case, though. Putty has enough behind him. You know, we're talking characters. He is quite a character, whether you like the episodes he's in or not. Putty advances.
All right, very well. So that wraps up the Melman bracket. All right. So that means our final bracket to go through is the Sharonas for the first 16 entries here. And our number one seed is Peterman. And he's going against the number 16, Rick Leventon. So Tony, who do you got in this matchup?
I will always be a winner and you will always be a loser. I mean, foundation, O'Hara loves to talk foundation. Does it get any more foundation than the revenge, the naked conversation with Elaine, you know, the toast he makes to George? Sure, we love his antics around the, how we blew that McConnell deal, we'll never know. I mean, the guy delivers on all cylinders in my book. It steals the entire show. You know, you were tied up, I bet, you know, everything about what's he doing here leads to another great Costanza line. I mean, foundation is there. Don't sleep on this guy, folks. You know, any of you pink hats out there, watch this episode again. Tell me that this guy is not one of the best characters you're ever going to see. You know, he got a tough draw here. All that said, it's very hard to go against Peterman in this situation. I really love Leventon, though. If there was going to be a 16-1 upset, this would be it. But I got to be fair as an analyst. I think Peterman, if you're talking characters, I mean, the guy's a character and a half, and he's got so many great snippets we can take out of different episodes that he just delivers so much that he's a one seed for a reason. Peterman gets the nod for me.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Tony. So, Chris, to you, what do you got here?
Well said there. Hard to argue. Two friends of the show. But again, Peterman was in, what, 20 plus episodes, a character to the core. Whether, you know, flipping the channels or, you know, the whole Kramer stuff. Yeah, let's move Peterman on and go on to the 8-9 here.
Yeah, no reason to discuss that one further. But yeah, like you said, both great guests, both great characters. But yeah, Peterman moves on. All right, again, 8-9. These are another you know, classic matchup here. Tough one to go through. So, Chris, number 8, Sue Ellen Mischke versus the Bubble Boy, number 9 seed.
Fascinating matchup here. Mischke, obviously, more well known in 4 episodes. Obviously, was a part of the later years where ratings were much higher. Bubble Boy, obviously, season 4. We know John Heyman played him. I mean, we talked to his mother. Again, not that any of this matters. We talked to Sue Ellen, for crying out loud. But as far as impact goes, it's pretty close. As you know, the name of the show is The Bubble Boy, for crying out loud. How about you take your top off? Moops, Moors. And we never really saw the Bubble Boy. We saw his hand and, you know, Seinfeld, you know, the whole thing. But, you know, Sue Ellen and the caddy, the O. Henry heiress. I mean, she's the braless wonder. Sue Ellen moves on here.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Tony, your thoughts. What do you got in this matchup?
Yeah, this isn't as easy as, I mean, 8-9. This is a very tough 8-9. You know, you don't even see the Bubble Boy, but you hear him, right? And that's just about enough. All, you know, Moops, Mores, take your top off. You want to talk about a character that delivers? The Bubble Boy delivers. I mean, who's coming up with this character? Only Larry Charles, right? I mean, incredible. That said, I wish I had the Bubble Boy seated somewhere else, because I'd love to see him advance. But talk about a character, the Prowless Wonder, O. Henry Harris. That's two things right there that you're just like, what is going on here? How are we having these things combined, the whole thing with the sweater? Yeah, I mean, I love her whole free will and free spirit attitude, friend of the show. She's going to advance. And in a close one, though. This one went to overtime, in my opinion. Sue Ellen Mischke.
Yeah. All right, good. All right. Thank God I didn't have to do the tiebreaker in that one. So Sue Ellen Mischke, moving on. All right, so that brings us up to Helen Seinfeld, a 5 seed, versus Tom Pepper, a 12 seed. So Tony, give us your thoughts. What do you got on this one?
Yeah, Larry Hankin, another friend of the show, really just... Talk about a character. I mean, he could have been Kramer in some weird way, in some alternate universe, right? Different, whole different ballgame if he's Kramer. But he's kind of got that crazy Joe DiVola vibe to me when he's like, how about I rip your heart out or whatever, the whole thing there. You know, I don't like you. The raisins controversy, you know, chokester in the opening scene of Jerry, the sitcom. Love Tom Pepper. But Helen, I mean, talk about foundation, obviously. I mean, she's only a 5 seed as a parent. It's kind of a low seed, but, you know, she doesn't have the craziness of Frank and Estelle. She's not a character like Morty and his, oh, my wallet. You know, she's just a mother, a great mother. You know, how can anyone not like you? Yeah, I think Helen gets a nod here for me, but it's not as not a blowout at all.
All right. Good thoughts there. So, Chris, over to you. What do you got for your thoughts and your pick here?
Yeah, really weird matchup here. Tony did bring up some good points about Hankin. Pepper must be in the Patriot League. He snuck in here, snuck into this tournament. And Helen, yeah, she's there. I don't know how far Helen's going to get. But I think Tony made a lot of good points. I think she beats Pepper for now, and let's see what happens. But Helen does move on.
Yeah, I think we agree there all around that Helen should move on. So, all right, good pick there. Next up, number 4 seed, Crazy Joe Davola versus Dolores, a 13 seed. Chris, again, what do you got going on here?
Crazy Joe Davola, Peter Crombie, may he rest in peace, versus Dolores, friend of the show, Mulva, obviously, just a really memorable episode there, the Junior Mint, right? The Junior Mint, yeah. But let's be honest. I mean, this Crazy Joe Davola is one of the most unique, dark characters you'll ever meet. Obviously, from the pitch, when he meets Jerry, and Jerry tells about Kramer's party, to obviously the opera, the whole thing. He's a Larry Charles character, and in season 4. He elevated, you know, season 4 is really interesting. Some of these, you know, Dalrymple's gone, should have stayed. We're not losing Crazy Joe. Crazy Joe moves on.
Yeah, over to you, Tony. What do you got here?
Yeah, Crazy Joe moves on. I mean, as good as it gets for me. One of the all-time characters, like O'Hara mentioned. Not much else to add there. Dolores, you know, again, you want to put some Jerry girlfriends in here only because they're so memorable, and nothing's more memorable than Dolores. You know, is she as memorable? Maybe not. But you know what? You got to put her in there just for the name alone and just for what she brings to the table. But yeah, Crazy Joe advances.
Yeah, we love talking to Susan Walters, but I, you know, unfortunately, she goes up against a big guy and Joe Davola, and I'm sorry, it was a 20-point blowout. So, moving on, Tony, we're sticking with you. We got the close talker, who is an 11 seed, versus Lloyd Braun, a number 6. All right, who do you got here?
Yeah, and this is interesting, Lloyd Braun. We didn't really talk before the call here, but before we started doing this episode, but I'm calling Lloyd Braun. We're going to have to go both here. Combine the Lloyd Braun. Use it as you may, say what you want, all that kind of stuff. But that's how I'm looking at it, as he's the character, goes from Mr. Cool Guy, Peter Kelligan, and the non-fat yogurt to losing his mind later on with Matt McCoy. That said, 11-seed close talker, Judge Reinhold, I think he's a great character. I think he delivers in this role. I know my partner thinks the talker stuff maybe gets played out, but you know, he's kind of the first, and I think he delivers the best. I believe he was nominated for an Emmy on this if he didn't win it. Just the way, just watch his episode again. Watch those scenes. Just when he gets right up close, nose to nose. I mean, everything he's doing, the way he just loves the parents, and you know, Elaine doesn't know what's going on. Is he this nice? Is he this nice? He's psycho. I just think it's a great revival of Judge Reinhold. I don't know what that means exactly. I mean, what has the guy been in? Not that much since we saw him in Fast Times. But I think he delivers. I'm going 11 seed close talker. There's just too much Lloyd Braun stuff there. O'Hara probably give his take. Maybe he's going to separate it. I don't know. But either way, I think the close talker will beat either of the Lloyd Brauns, which, you know, that might be a crazy statement, but that's where I'm at. So I'm going close talker.
All right, yeah, thanks, Tony. So, Chris, your thoughts. So, who do you got?
Mr. Sentimentality over there. We knew he was going there. Listen, folks, Lloyd Braun is an absolute staple. I don't care if it's the non-fat yogurt to Serenity Now. Whether you like that episode or not, he was amazing in it. The best character. All that Lloyd Braun to the, you know, the mayor, he knows Dinkins. I mean,
you give it everyone else, not him.
Can I finish? The name tag fiasco. What do you mean everyone else? It's already
giving lines about everyone else talking about him.
Talking about him, establishing the character. And then obviously him making the moves and him as that like true antagonist to George in multiple episodes. And I think that's relatable. No one can relate to a close talker. I mean, maybe we can, but not to that degree where they're going out with someone's parents, some weird guy. Like, we all have that Lloyd Braun in our life. Lloyd moves on. And not only that, the two actors are phenomenal. I don't want to downplay them, Peter and
yeah. Yeah, you mentioned the two actors that played the Lloyd Braun. One was Matt McCoy. He played the later Lloyd Braun. And then you had Peter Callahan, who played the first version of Lloyd Braun. So that means I got to do the tiebreaker here. And I'm going, you guys know, I'm a big Judge Reinhold fan. So close talker. He moves on. Upset in this bracket.
I didn't do a good enough job on my report.
I thought you were a Lloyd Braun guy through and through, Schmid.
Serenity yeah. now.
Yeah, I never really liked Lloyd Braun. Great character, like you said, but I think Aaron was a much funnier premise, and I just loved, you know, every scene that he was in. So that's why he gets my pick. So that means we're moving on. Close talker advances. And Chris, we're going to go with a number 3 seed, Mickey, versus Mr. Morgan, a 14 seed.
Yeah, this is March Madness, folks. You never know what's going to happen. That's the beauty of this. So, and here's another one, 3 and 14. Mickey's an all-timer in so many episodes. Mr. Morgan, both of these guys, friends of the show, salt of the earth. I mean, just remarkable guys. Hard to choose when you know them both, but this is what we got to do here as analysts. So, you know, Mickey had a lot, you know, he punched high on a lot of stuff, but for some reason I'm thinking Mr. Morgan. I just, as a boss, you know, having to deal with George Costanza all the time, whether it's the Sugar Ray stuff or, you know, George winking at his wife, and just so many fires Mr. Morgan had to put out. And I feel like he represented the Yankees really well. He felt like a Yankee. You know, we actually talk about it a lot. Like, when we see scenes at Yankee Stadium without him, we always say, where's Mr. Morgan? That's special. Mr. Morgan moves on here, 14 over 3.
All right. Good insight there. Tony, what do you got in this matchup?
Listen, this is why we do this, folks. You never know what's going to happen in these things. Listen, I'm just doing a little bit of research because I got to be fair. I got to make sure I'm dotting all my I's here. You know, everyone, to Harris' point, Morgan is there. You know, he's not just a one-time guy. 4 episodes, he's always kind of there with George. You screwed me again, Costanza. He's a necessary character, especially, you know, 6 and 7, you know, it's, we're not talking 8 and 9, and he's not there for the early foundation stuff, but he's necessary to kind of pull through this season 6, this kind of middle ground episode where he's kind of a foundation, if you will, in that respect. You know, he needs to be in Yankee Stadium, as O'Hara mentioned. He worked at Yankee Stadium in real life, for crying out loud. Whereas Mickey, you know, Mickey, be surprised here, right? Mickey was in 6 episodes and Morgan was in 4. We're not talking about someone that was in a bunch and someone who was in 1, right? So let's make that clear, right? Mickey's one of those things too, where I feel like, you know, the standard in the race is really Mickey. After that, they're kind of just shoving Mickey into things. You know, the burning people might want to say is another one, but to really have him advance, I need him to be that character that kind of just comes in, delivers, and gets out and doesn't really, you know, isn't really there in these kind of filler things. And you know, let's just throw Mickey into the mix and have Mickey show. You know, the dating thing with Kramer, the spin around with the shirts. As far as characters go, and as far as, you know, the foundation of the show goes, I'm going to go with my partner. I'm going to go an upset here. Mr. Morgan is going to upset Mickey early on here and move on.
And in my opinion, I think this is a true upset because I think Mickey is the character. But you guys are the analysts. You guys had great points too. So we're sticking with Mr. Morgan. There's not even a tiebreaker to consider here. So Mr. Morgan advances in an upset. So that moves us on to the Doorman versus Kruger. So Tony, number 7 versus number 10. Who do you got?
Yeah, listen, again, another one of these one episode, guys, in kind of the realm of Jimmy and the realm of Tor Ekman and the realm of the Moyle. You know, you want to talk about, you know, he's in the realm of Bookman, he's in the realm of Alton Bennis. Perhaps that's a little too far. However, I go back to this one all the time. I think Larry Miller delivers as a doorman. Just his delivery, his smile, his just his smugness. Oh, I see. I'm the doorman. You know, and Jerry, a doorman said, we're two jobs. Just everything about this guy, how he just messes with Jerry's head. You know, I know Pink Hats love Kruger. I think Kruger's a character. That's why he's on the list. I mean, he's definitely a character. He's up there with the bosses. You know, it's one of those things where he's got his own kind of niche, if you will, right? He's kind of clueless, kind of like, oh, whatever, black, red, I don't know, whatever the best. But to me, you want to talk about stealing an episode, the doorman steals the episode. I mean, you're not telling me anything else that happened in that episode but the doorman. You know, I'm just the doorman. So for me, the seven seed doorman gets the nod.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Tony. Chris, your thoughts here. Number seven doorman versus number 10 Kruger.
Difficult one. And listen, I think the little sentimentality is going in there. He loves Larry Miller. I get it. Yeah, but when I think the doorman, I do think other things, believe it or not. You know, Mr. Pitt, Poppy, Jerry, I think was really strong. The whole Knicks thing. And Kruger is a character. I think I'm siding with the Pink Hats on this one. I think he was just, again, consistent enough. They didn't overdo him, which in the later seasons happened a lot. So for him to not be overused and just having his ear black, red, and any Festivus thing, or him just sitting at Monk's, like. And he was like, they could have blown him up, and they didn't. So someone was smart there. Maybe it's Kruger himself. He goes, let's not push it here. But for me, as an analyst, you know, he was in what, probably five episodes. Doorman had one. I do love Larry Miller. You know, he almost got the job as George. We know all that. This is a tough one, but I'm leaning Kruger here as a slight upset.
All right, so that means I'm a tiebreaker here. And I think you guys already know this, but I'm a Kruger guy. And I'm siding with a guy who carries around his own flask. So Kruger moves on in this matchup. All right, so that means we got one more left, and that's a number two seed, Jack Klompas versus Darren, the intern, a 15 seed. And Chris, who do you got?
Klompas, Darren. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. These high seeds. Klompas is an all-timer. Curious how we, as we get through this, these rounds here, how it shapes up. But Klompas, easy.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, Tony, your thoughts real quick.
Yeah, as much as we do love Darren, I mean, he got a tough draw here. This is one of those things where Darren was happy to win his conference tournament and pulled a tough card from the selection committee. Klompas moves on, and a no-brainer.
Absolutely. All right. So that does the first round.
Thank you for tuning in to the first round of the 2024 Best Seinfeld Character Bracket. Stay tuned for the rest of the bracket.